Radio 4.
Time to meet the men from the ministry. We're off once again for a whiz round Whitehall with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In government service, a lot of work is bound to be routine, but top executives must also be ready with fresh schemes and bold new plans. In the General Assistance Department, for instance, original ideas breed like newts in a water butt.
Here you are, Mr. Lennox Brown, the text of all last week's parliamentary debate.
We've been asked to review London's tourist attractions and try and make bigger profits.
But the House of Commons doesn't make a profit.
Not yet. But we mean to put that right.
The public gallery, you see. At the moment, spectators don't pay.
People won't pay to go in there. It's all incredibly boring.
We don't plan to charge for admission. They'll have to pay to get out.
It'll be £2 to escape in the first hour, and one to get out after that.
Of course, it's just our proposal at the moment. The Prime Minister may wish to add his own suggestions.
Yeah, I'll bet he will.
Well, he pulls up lots of ideas. The Tower of London could be let out for pop festivals.
And if some of the groups aren't liked, there's an execution block already in waiting.
Well, we could certainly do with more public money. The Ministry plumbing's broken down again.
Oh, dear. I suppose the geezer's had one of its fits.
Yes, you're quite right, of course, Mildred. Our washrooms are a disgrace. I mean, fancy a man in my position having to carry a sink plug round in his pocket.
Mr. Crawley next door had a nasty accident. He was scrubbing his knees in the washhand basin and the whole lot fell on his foot.
Oh, creepy Crawley. Mm. What a ghastly thought. Last time I saw legs like his, they had a message attached to them.
Well, I think something should be done. Someone should tell Sir Gregory.
He wouldn't help. He's too busy chasing Miss Bentworth around the typing pool.
He's the permanent undersecretary. He's supposed to inspect our facilities.
That's what he tells Miss Bentwater. No, Sir Gregory doesn't care about staff welfare. If he's not flirting with the typist, he's grovelling to the minister. Now then, you two.
Oh, Sir Grovelly.
No, Sir Gregory. How very nice to see you, sir.
I thought I'd better check on that job I gave you for the Ministry of Works.
Of course, sir, yes.
Tourist attractions and so forth.
Ah, now I'm glad you did, sir. I'm very glad you did, sir. We have some excellent ideas which you feel are both lucrative and meritorious.
And we think they're quite good as well.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yes, madam.
Now, for instance, sir, the changing of the guard. As you know, this takes place at the palace every morning.
Of course, and it usually draws a big crowd.
Exactly. Well, we feel they should do it more often, so even more tourists could see it. Say, every 20 minutes.
Change the guard every 20 minutes?
And the ceremony could be livened up. A spot of trick riding, perhaps.
Trick riding?
Yes, like in a circus, you know. Put a handkerchief on the ground and the officer has to lean from the saddle as he gallops past and pick it up with his teeth.
What?
And then for an encore, he could ride back and pick up his teeth.
Ah, nonsense, Lamb. London's historic ceremonies should be colourful and lively, but they must also retain their dignity.
Oh.
And on the subject of ceremonies, remember you're in charge of arrangements for next month's Trooping the Colour.
We have it in hand, sir.
Yes,
extra seating will be supplied, as you suggested.
And Horse Guards Parade will be swept afterwards.
Yes.
Ah, the cavalry chaps will appreciate that.
Yes, so will Mr. Lennox Brown's roses.
Well, make sure you put up show, you two. We must all pull together to make London the tourist centre of Europe.
Does that mean you'll be helping, sir?
Well, of course I'll be helping. In 10 days' time, I'm off to Paris on a fact-finding tour. We'll be roughing it at the Hotel Majestic. Missing our sleep to check up on the nightclubs.
When you say we, sir, will you be taking Miss Bentwater?
Right. Oh, yes. She'll be there to take it all down.
Right.
Well, the French are very good at that sort of thing. I want her to see how they do it.
Oh. How they do what, Sir Gregory?
Well, cater for tourists, of course.
Well, cater for tourists.
I shall also take the opportunity to introduce her to the culture and arts of our common market brethren.
Splendid. Look,
gradually, of course.
Yes.
A little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Quite a bit of the other.
Miss Bentwater is rather gifted, you know. She has an artistic bent.
Oh, I'm sure it's nothing to worry about, sir.
When I'm with her, I sense her a latent talent and I have an urge to bring it out.
Oh.
You know, I'm giving her a violin for her birthday next month, and very expensive, I may say. It cost me a fortune.
Yeah. Well, why not, Sir Gregory? After all, she doesn't have a birthday every year.
I want to mold this untutored girl into something fine and beautiful.
Beautiful, yes.
Foster her love of the arts.
Yes.
Teach her to make the best of herself. I gave her dress material for Christmas, you know.
Did you really?
Yes. I want to be a sort of Pygmalion.
Well, you're halfway there, son.
Another thing I mustn't hear you. I know you're keen to tackle this Ministry of Works job.
Yes.
We must do all we can to encourage the tourists here. For the sake of the nation's economy.
My word, too. I've never seen Sir Gregory so mellow. He was almost pleasant, wasn't he?
And he didn't shout at us once.
Ah. Now get on with it, and no bungling.
Mildred, that memo I did on the royal visit, has it gone off yet?
Yes, sir. Copies to all departments.
Pity. I've just seen my copy, and your shorthand has failed us again.
How?
I dictated, crowd control will require plenty of uniformed police. We must ensure it is the right number.
How?
Oh, it's right, Mildred. Just read what you send out. Well, read it.
Crowd control will require plenty of uninformed police. We must ensure it is the right number.
And what about the covering letter? Look how it begins. Dear sir or madman.
Sorry, sir.
And where's Mr. Lamb this morning? He's as late as I am, and I'm late, if not later. What's he up to?
I don't know, sir, but I expect he'll be here soon. He'll come bursting in and say...
Sorry I'm late, one.
My word, Mildred, that was just like him. Oh, it is you, too.
Yes.
But where on earth have you been?
In the men's room. My tie was trapped in the towel machine.
Oh, glory.
They sent for that awful caretaker... He said it was a choice between strangling me or wrecking the towel machine, and the towel machine was valuable.
Oh, poor Mr. Lancer, what happened?
Mr. Crawley turned up and cut my tie with his scissors.
Oh.
I suppose I'll have to wear it in a bow now.
I bet the machine was faulty, like everything in our washrooms. It's a living scandal. In the girls' room, there are cracks all down the walls.
Dear me.
Luckily, you can't read most of them.
Ah, Mr. Crawley, thank you for coming to my rescue.
Well, I hope you're all right, Mr. Lamb. I didn't like having to cut off your what's-his-name.
Oh, he's all right. He always looks like that.
Well, I'm not all right. Oh, I'm in a rare old lather. It's time something was done about our ministry plumbing. Our pipes are furry and our cisterns are constantly leaking.
Quite right, Mr. Crawley. We were just talking about that.
Well, with respect, Miss Murfin, the time for talking is past. What we want is action. The management must renew the old what's-his-name.
Here, here.
I've drawn up a petition to Sir Gregory Pitkin, and it states our demands in plain language. We workers have got to unite.
Yes.
Show the bosses they can't what's his name all over us.
We must stand back to back and face each other. We've been pushed around too long.
You just sign the petition here, Mr. Lamb, and add your own comments.
I'll tell Sir Gregory what to do with his pipes.
Well, we'll show him we mean business. It's time to stand up and fight.
That sounds like Sir Gregory now.
What? Coming in here? Well, you give him this petition, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, yes. Me? I can't give Sir Gregory a petition. He might get cross.
Now then, you two. Lamb, what's that document you're holding?
I cannot tell a lie, Sir Gregory.
Then don't even try.
It's a petition.
A petition? How interesting. Tell me more.
Mr. Lamb wants to talk about the pipes, sir.
Pipes? Is that so, Lamb? What sort of pipes? Gas? Tobacco, drain, or bag?
Well, we're all fed up with the washrooms, you see, because our pipes are clogged and our fixtures are loose, and the most we can get is a dribble or a trickle, and sometimes it's nothing at all, and our taps won't turn, and our basins are cracked, and it never gets hot, and what about the workers?
You'll have to forgive my colleague, Sir Gregory. He's become rather wild, you know, since they started putting meat in the canteen sausages.
That'll do, Leonard Brown. Let him speak for himself.
Certainly.
Yes. Well, 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 Lamb, you've become a regular firebrand, haven't you? I suppose you see yourself as a new Spartacus, leading a revolt of the slaves.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. He was executed, you know.
Oh, yes. I didn't mean it, Sir Gregory. I like filthy washrooms. I don't want hot water, honestly.
Oh, be quiet, man. The authorities are well aware of plumbing faults in this building. A major overhaul has already been planned and will start forthwith.
Oh.
You in the General Assistance Department will be responsible.
Yes. Oh.
And I have a file here with detailed plans for improvements and alterations. Get a firm to estimate and carry out the work. And something else.
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory?
Have it done as cheaply as possible.
Yes, sir.
I said we just had to stand up to him.
You can come out from under the desk now.
If it has to be done cheaply, we'd better get Mr. Wrench.
Mr. Wrench, who's he?
My landlady's plumber. Whenever Mrs. Bradby has a stoppage, he comes round and unblocks her S-bend. He's got one of those long things with a brush at the end. Oh, he'll make a marvellous job at the ministry.
Excuse me, Mr. Lennox Brown. Mr. Wrench wants a word with you.
I just come to say goodbye, gents. I've finished all the new plumbing, and I've made quite a good job of it. Although I say so, who shouldn't say so?
A good job?
A good job? There are drips coming from that crack in the ceiling.
It's chaos, sir. I switched on the light in the outer office, and the light bulb filled up with water.
And I picked up the phone to call Mr. Flood, and a cold jet splashed in my ear.
Oh, I meant to warn you, sir. To make a phone call, you have to go to the washroom and shout up the tap.
Now, you hear that, Mr. Wrench? You've wrecked the whole system.
Yeah, it's just teething troubles.
Then we might be better off in the dentist.
Well, I did say I'd done quite a good job. I didn't say a very good job.
Oh. Let us run! Lamb!
Oh, Sir Gregory, what's happened? You look soaking wet.
I am soaking wet. My new suit is ruined. And why?
Why, Sir Gregory?
Because water came pouring through my ceiling. There's water everywhere. It's cascading down the stairs. The typing pool's overflowed.
Oh.
Dear me, perhaps my joints are coming apart. They don't make chewing gum like they used to.
Chewing gum? Is that what you've been using?
Well, it was all I had. I was told to do it cheaply.
Oh, get out, you doddering old fool.
I take it you're not pleased, then.
If ever I see you in this building again, I'll do you a mischief with your own plunger. Now go!
Well, I'm not staying here. I know when I'm not wanted. Some people are never satisfied. No respect, these youngsters.
Now then, you two.
It wasn't our fault, sir. No. You told us to do it cheaply.
Cheaply? Have you thought of the damage that lunatic's caused? The cost of new carpets for my office and new coconut matting for yours?
Well, we're truly sorry, Sir Gregory.
No, it never pays to penny pinch. Get a proper firm to sort out the mess. Now, there's a first-class one in Park Lane. Smoothie and Smart.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, I've heard of them.
Won't Smoothie and Smart be rather expensive?
Well, they won't be cheap, of course, but they'll only install the stuff. You'll buy the material at reduced rates from the Ministry of Works. Oh, and something else, Lennox Brown.
Yes, sir?
While they're doing this overhaul, have them recite the third-floor washroom.
Yes.
It's too far from my office at the moment. I have to go right down the corridor.
Very good, sir.
There's an empty storeroom opposite my office. Have the fixtures and fittings installed in there.
We'll go to Smoothie and Smart this very day, sir, and get the whole thing moving.
What marvellous offices these private firms have. White leather armchairs, tropical fish tanks, a fountain.
And that was under the lift. What about the entrance hall?
Most impressive. That magnificent desk with the blonde receptionist.
And did you see that splendid Picasso?
No, she was sitting down at the time.
It's all very different from the ministry entrance, isn't it? I mean, old Matthews in the porter's cubby hole, picking his ear with a pipe cleaner.
Ah, here we are. Smoothie and Smart. Sanitary engineers and commissioners for baths.
Oh, hello. You're the man from the ministry.
Yes, that's right, yes. I'm Lennox Brown. This is my junior colleague here. This is Mr. Blem.
I'm Smart, by name and by nature. Please walk this way.
If I could walk that way, I'd have got that job in the Foreign Office.
Two. Mr. Smart, I've brought a plan of the ministry and a list of the jobs we want done. As well as a general overhaul, we want the third floor washroom moved.
Oh, we'll take care of it, never you fear. Now, let me show you our fitments. This is the latest in basins. Finest marble with mink-covered taps.
I see.
And this is your sunken bath. Marble with gold fittings, naturally.
Naturally, yes.
The water gushes from the lion's mouth here.
That reminds me of Sir Gregory after the staff Christmas party.
And here are your bidets in a range of up-to-the-minute colours.
I never use them. I wash my feet in the bath.
Yes, well, this is all very interesting, Mr. Smart, but you do realise, don't you, that your firm will only install the equipment.
What?
We'll be getting the stuff from the Ministry of Works. They have lots of ex-army basins and pipes.
Oh, well then, there's no point in showing you my articles.
Right, in fact, I'd rather you didn't. Now, just say what items you need and my colleague here will place the order.
Got your pencil?
Yes.
Right. 200 yards of piping, 60 basins wash hand, 30 systems metal, 30 ball cocks plastic.
There's a note here about cleaning a flag, sir.
Yes, it's for trooping the colour, you know.
What a good idea. That flag they paraded last year looked awfully taffy.
Well, this year's was so grubby you could scarcely read the regimental motto, ready for anything. Looked like seedy and thin. Oh, it's tragic, you know, to see a historic flag in that condition.
I could take it to the laundrette tomorrow, pop it in with my smalls.
Thank you, too. That will not be necessary. The flag is already being cleaned by experts. They'll return it here on Friday in time for the ceremony.
Oh, it looks like it's all in hand, sir. Smoothie and Smart have nearly finished the plumbing.
Won't Sir Gregory be pleased when he gets back from Paris today?
Indeed he will. They'll have moved the washroom down his end of the corridor, and he's had his office repainted.
How did that happen?
Oh, some private fiddle, I gather. The maintenance people were replacing his carpets because of that water damage. He bribed them to redecorate as well.
Well, they do say money talks.
Never said much to me.
Okay, something terrible's happened.
Crawley, whatever's the matter?
Well, I just passed Sir Gregory's office. Oh, he was awful.
Poor Mr. Crawley, you're shaking like Mr. Lennox Brown when he reads the racing results. Yeah.
I thought you told your people to set up a men's room opposite Sir Gregory's office.
Well, that's right, we said to convert that old storeroom.
Well, they must have misunderstood you. They've installed all the fixtures and fittings in Sir Gregory's office itself.
Oh,
it's true. There are cubicles next to his drinks cabinet, 6 wash hand basins by his window, and behind his desk, a row of what's-his names that go every 2 or 3 minutes.
Good grief. This is your fault, too. This is your fault, you know. You marked the plan of the building. You must have ticked the wrong side of the corridor.
Oh.
Blimey, Sir Gregory will be here any minute.
To find his office is also a washroom. He'll kill us.
Well, I'm off. I can't face it. I really can't. I've stood enough over the years. My magazine says pension's bad for a girl. I'm going home.
And you'll have to excuse me, too, if Sir Gregory's coming. I can't stand the sight of blood.
Oh, it's no use trying to hide under the carpet, too. Come here. Pull yourself together, man. Now, we've got to keep going and think.
Couldn't we go first and then think?
Look, as I see it, we could apply for a foreign posting and stay at home till we get it.
Yeah.
Or, perhaps, we could bribe old Matthews to trap Sir Gregory in the lift.
Lennox Brown. Lamb, good morning.
Oh, glory.
Lamb, why are you trying to climb up the hat stand?
Because it's there.
Well, I've had such a pleasant stay in Paris, I think I could even tolerate you two and your weird eccentricities.
My word, sir, what a generous spirit.
Besides, I'm looking forward to seeing my office. I've had it redecorated, you know.
I always said, sir. Oh, you haven't actually been to your office yet, sir?
No, I'm on my way there now. I dare say I'll see a few changes, right?
Yes, you will, sir, you will.
Henceforth, the room will reflect my status.
Yes.
They should have put more seats in, have they?
Oh,
Well, I promised the lads a few bob, but I think I'll have them in there for drinks in lieu. Well, it should be one of the most striking offices in the building, you know. All my traditional comforts plus 1 or 2 gadgets I've had installed. I expect to find it a great convenience.
Sir Gregory, don't go into your office.
Don't go into my office? What are you talking about, Lamb?
Oh, if you do go in, keep your eyes shut.
Keep my eyes shut?
My colleague means you should relax, sir, you yes. see. I mean, well, you have, haven't you? You've had a tiring journey, sir. Now, why don't you go straight home and lie down for a day or two?
Or perhaps a couple of weeks.
It's very good of you to worry about my welfare, but there's a great deal to do in my office. No doubt lots of papers arrived in my absence.
Don't go in there, sir, please.
Oh, stop pulling my jacket, Lamb. I'll be back to talk to you later.
I'm sure he will. How long does it take to get to his office?
About 10 seconds.
And he's had 5 already. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, Mr. Lamb. I've seen black eyes before, but never with yellow streaks.
Well, what about me, Mildred? What about me? Sir Gregory held my new swivel chair at the wall.
But that didn't hurt you physically.
It did. I was still sitting in it.
Oh, he was cross. Some of the words he used I'd never even heard.
Well, Sir Gregory's no gentleman, even though that notice on his door says he is.
What's that you're dabbing on your eye, too?
Well, it should be a raw steak, but I couldn't afford it, so I bought a frozen rissole.
Mr. Gregory, just leave his office and go and work somewhere else.
Ah, well, he couldn't, you see. He was expecting some vital phone calls on that line. So he had to sit at his desk all day while men kept coming in and washing her hands.
Yes, and then they dried them on his new overcoat.
Apparently he had a white ashtray in front of him and people were dropping coins in it.
Rudge gave him 2p, I hear.
2p?
It was the second time he'd been in.
Well, I suppose all the gear will be taken out now and put in the proper room.
Yes, that's right. Should be done by Monday. Provided, of course, we can get another boar cock.
I phoned the Misery of Works, man. They'll send one along in the morning.
Good.
Oh, come in, Sir Gregory. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm slowly regaining my peace of mind after one of the worst weeks of my life.
Mr. Lamb and Mr. Lennox Brown were ever so sorry about that little mishap.
How you've stuck them all these years is beyond me. I must say, I admire you, Miss Maffin.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'm here to ask if you'd do me a favor. Just a little favor, but something that means a lot to me.
Well, I don't know as I should. My boyfriend's awfully jealous.
I wondered if I might leave this parcel here.
Oh, a parcel! Oh, yes, of course, sir.
Yes, it's Miss Bentwater's birthday today. She's 22.
What, again? I mean, is she?
Well, I wanted to give her this rather special gift, a surprise, you know, but she's not in yet.
Oh, no, she won't be until this afternoon, sir. She's having her hair done. She's going to a hunt ball tomorrow.
Yes, I'm taking her, as a matter of fact, launching her into society.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Well, now I have to be out for the rest of the day. I'm attending the Trooping of the Colour. The PM's asked me to join him in the VIP box, actually.
Oh.
Then we may have a spot of lunch and go for a sail on the Serpentine.
So you'd like me to give Daphne Bentwater a present?
Yeah, that's right. I know it'll be safe in your hands, but don't let Mr. Lamb or Mr. Lennox Brown get near it, will you?
No, sir. I'll put it up here on the shelf till Daphne gets in.
It's a violin and a very valuable one.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's packed in this long cardboard box. Thank you, Miss Muffin, and now I must go. I mustn't be late for the ceremony.
Righty-ho, sir. Cheery-bye.
Goodbye, Miss Muffin.
Poor old devil. I suppose he's not so bad, really. He's just in an awkward age.
Morning, Mildred. Everything under control?
Oh, yes, sir. Good. Except that flag's arrived and they need it for Trooping the Colour.
I'm sorry we're late. Mr. Smart's men had trouble with one of the systems, so we had to rush round and look into it.
No wonder you both look flushed.
Now, I'll take the flag to Horse Guards Parade. By Jove, we're tight for time, aren't we? Look, you'd better phone the Colonel, Mildred. Tell him it's on its way.
Righty-ho, sir.
Say, they may not get it till the last minute, but to start the ceremony anyway. Where is the flag?
It's on the shelf, sir, in a long cardboard box.
Shall I come with you, Run? I've never seen them trooping the colour.
No, I'm sorry. No, you must get that ball cock to the plumbers.
No.
Did it arrive, Mildred?
Yes, sir. All neatly packed in a long cardboard box. A special delivery from the Ministry of Works. I'll put it up there on the shelf.
Right, well, I must get moving at once. They start the trooping in 15 minutes. We can't have anything go wrong.
No, indeed. I hear the whole thing's on TV.
Hello, viewers. Well, as you probably gathered, this is Fort Robinson here on Horse Guards Parade for the Trooping the Colour ceremony. As always, a large crowd has gathered to see this unique British spectacle. And they watch in awe now as Her Majesty the Queen, immaculate as ever on horseback, waits to receive the regimental colours. Now the adjutant rides forward on a big black horse, a truly magnificent animal. But he seems a little nervous, nostrils flaring, eyes rolling, one ear up and the other down. Luckily his horse seems perfectly calm. What may be upsetting the adjutant is that as yet he doesn't seem to have a colour to troop. But what's this? Here's a new twist to this ancient ceremony. A bowler-hatted figure is cycling across the parade ground, carrying a long cardboard box. He's obviously expected, for the adjutant rides over and takes the box from him. And the cyclist doffs his bowler hat to Her Majesty and respectfully falls off his bicycle. Aha! And now a great hush descends on the crowd as the adjutant, opening the box as he goes, rides slowly forward and holds this historic standard aloft to the troops. But my word, it's not a regimental flag. It looks like, surely not, my word it is,
a ball cock.
Honestly, sir, how could you? My dad laughed so much when he saw it on TV, he fell off his puff and did himself a mischief.
Well, it was because of that last-minute rush, you see.
But it really was very careless of you, Anna.
Oh.
It was the sort of daft thing I used to do.
Well, you've no cause to be uppity, Mr. Lamb, considering what you did.
Me?
You were supposed to give the ball cock to the plumbers, weren't you?
Well, I did.
You couldn't have, could you? Mr. Lennox Brown gave it to the army.
Oh, dear. Don't say I gave the plumbers the regimental flag.
No, you didn't do that.
Oh, what a relief.
You gave them Miss Bentwater's present.
What?
Sir Gregory's expensive violin got put in the washroom cistern.
Are you sure?
Yeah. When you pull the chain, it does a quick pizzicato.
Oh, glory, Sir Gregory will go mad. Quick, go to the supermarket, Mildred, and buy 2 frozen rissoles.
Where are they? Let me get my hands on them.
Sir Gregory, we can explain.
Save your breath, Lennox Brown. It may be the last you draw. Nothing you can say will alter the fact that thanks to you, thousands of tourists, millions of TV viewers have seen, for the first time in recorded history, the ceremony of trooping the ball cock.
The regimental colour's all right, sir. It didn't come to any harm.
Didn't it, Lamb? You, Miss Murfin, what did you give Miss Bentwater?
The long cardboard box on the shelf, sir.
Exactly. The long cardboard box containing the priceless regimental flag. She thought I'd given her more dress material.
Dress material, sir?
Yes. She made up the flag into an evening gown for her debut at the Hunt Ball.
She made the flag into an evening gown?
She did, with the regimental motto prominently placed. Imagine meeting my upper crust friends with "Ready for anything" written across her back.
Lost with success as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.